Welcome to the Vanguard Church Podcast. You're about to hear a sermon from Vanguard Church Central in the heart of Colorado Springs. With every message, it's our prayer that you hear and learn how to live out your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. May your faith be strengthened, your hope increased, and your heart inspired to live for Jesus no matter the cost. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost was the day when the Holy Spirit, in the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit descended on God's people and they spoke in various languages. And the Bible says that they all understood one another. Isn't that incredible? Don't you sometimes grow weary of the confusion of this life, the chaos of this life, the disorder of this life? But God was bringing order to his kingdom. And today marks Pentecost Sunday, which is, Penta means 50, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to indwell you and I. And today we honor and we celebrate that. And also for me today, and this will be the last sermon I will give as a 53-year-old. You want to know why? Because Lord willing, next week on my birthday, turning 54, I will be giving another message with a different age. The first birthday I had as the pastor of Vanguard was going from 25 to 26 years of age. So there's been a few years past in this process. And I am so grateful for God's faithfulness to his church to do what he always promises he will do. Amen. My unbelieving friend Malcolm sent me a text this morning from England and a picture of a church that they are trying to sell in the Buckinghamshire area. And I was like, well, we need to buy that, Malcolm. So God is using unbelievers to point out to us churches that need to be bought and transformed. God is still on the move. I don't know if you know that or not. God is never discouraged, never defeated, and most importantly, never confused. Never. Never. God is not shocked by anything about your life. He's not shocked by anything that you're aware of. God is perfectly aware, perfectly in charge, and perfectly on the move, doing exactly what he intended to do. At the end of this message, we're going to call for baptism today. I felt like the Lord said to me last week, I want you to call for baptism at VTL, and there will be somebody that will respond. Well, there wasn't just a somebody, there were three somebodies. And I want you to know that regardless of how you feel about you or even how you feel about God, God is on his throne and God is moving in mighty ways to do mightily in your life. And I just would encourage you to say, Lord, I don't know what the question is, but the answer is yes, yes, yes. When you agree with the Lord, I want you to understand this. When you agree with the Lord, you eliminate a lot of anxiety in your life. When you agree with the Lord, you eliminate all kinds of confusion in your life. When you agree with the Lord, you eliminate all kinds of worry in your life. And when you agree with the Lord, are you ready? When you agree with the Lord, you eliminate all kinds of sin in your life. God is on the move. And today on Pentecost Sunday, we are going to go up into the upper room. And Jesus is going to meet the disciples in the upper room. Now, I wonder if the disciples were sitting around in the upper room saying something like this. I don't know if it was worth being Jesus' disciple. There was a lot involved there. And this did not end the way we thought it was going to. And then Jesus appears. And so I want to invite you today to take your program, take your Bible, John chapter 20, John chapter 21. We're going to revisit the upper room after resurrection, and we're going to call for baptism today. I want to invite you to share the service, to be a virtual evangelist. And also want to say, a few weeks ago, this shirt showed up. Christopher Thompson gave it to me. I said, well, thanks for the shirt. He said, well, you said you liked it. He had one on. So I got to be careful if I compliment you on your outfits, right? I need to make sure that I would like to wear it as well. Okay, thank you so much, Chris. How do we live out Jesus' new calling in our lives to reach others for him? Let's begin in John chapter 20, verse 19, as Jesus appears to the disciples. And I want you to ask yourself the question, when you define yourself, what is the first adjective you use to define yourself? And if it's anything other than follower of Jesus, you've missed it. You've missed it. You've missed it. You're not a father first. You're not a mother first. You're not a son first. You're not a daughter first. You're not a friend first. You're not a citizen first. You are a follower of the King first and foremost. Amen? Amen. And any relationship that stands between you and the King is called idolatry. Do you define yourself as a follower of Jesus first, or are you willing to compromise the primary relationship of your life because of the sorrow of your life or other people's view of the King you serve? John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked. They were locked. Now, why were they locked? Well, I remember when my mom was killed, and I said to myself out loud the night she was killed, she's the godliest person I know. If that could happen to her, I wonder what's going to happen to me. Well, the disciples, I'm sure, felt the same way. We'd never seen anybody like Jesus. He was amazing. He was incredible. And if they did that to him, oh my goodness, what might they do to us? So let's lock the doors. Now, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, four words, peace be with you. Now, why did he say that? Here's why. Because he was there. And wherever Jesus is, there is peace. Wherever Jesus is, there is peace. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands, his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. So he said it the first time to acknowledge his presence in the room. He said it the second time after he showed them that the suffering that he endured was worth it and that peace is greater than anything this world can try to do to you. Amen? Amen? See, God's presence brings peace to our lives. God's scars bring confidence to the suffering of our lives. Amen? Yeah. Lord, look what we've given up for you. Okay, well, don't worry about it. You're going to get 100-fold back. That's a pretty good investment, by the way. He showed this to them. And as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Whoa. Wait a minute. We know how the Father sent you. We know how that turned out. Don't know about that. Don't know if I want Jesus' story to be my story. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. This is powerful to think about. God the Father sent Jesus to the earth to die for us, to rise so that we have hope of eternity. God wants us to be a sent people. That's why we say the sending at the end, and we'll say it together again today. And if this is your first time to be at Vanguard, you'll see the sending. We are a sent people because Jesus was a sent Savior to this earth. And so we come here to get encouraged to be sent out into the world, to be to the world what Jesus has been to us. So how do we live out this new calling to reach others for Him? Number one, we realize that we're a sent people like Jesus. You are a sent people, just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. As Jesus came into the world, so God is sending you into the world to represent Him. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Not easy, but simple. Now look at what Jesus does here. Verse 22. When He had said this, He breathed on them. You ever had someone breathe on you? I had the silliest thing happen last night. I was laying in bed asleep, and I woke up, and Tasha was breathing on me. And Tim, I had this thought. I wonder how the Lord is converting her carbon dioxide to oxygen so that I do not smother to death right now. This is the thought I had. At I don't know what time in the night last night. And she's just like, she's just like breathing in my face. It's like it's a king-size bed. Can we spread out a little bit, right? Sometimes when God breathes on you, at first, it's like, what is that? What is that hotness? What? And there's fear involved, and we're going to see that. Like, when Jesus shows up, the disciples go from fearful to super fearful. And I don't know if you know this or not, but you're going to be fearful, and when God shows up, you're going to go, whoa, I'm even super fearful now. Because not only am I not in control of what's going on around me, now the God of the universe is going to ask me to do something I'm not going to be in control of. I'm going to be even more out of control. And Jesus is getting ready to breathe upon them His breath. And He said to them, four words, receive. First time in the history of humanity these words have been spoken. Receive the Holy Spirit. What? Receive the, not just any kind of spirit, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't just send them out, He gives them help. I love that about Jesus. Look at what He does. Principle number two, realize we are sent with the Holy Spirit. We're sent with the Holy Spirit. All other believers at this time received the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, but the apostles, they received the Holy Spirit in the upper room because they are the vanguard of the vanguard. They are stepping out, and they have been with Jesus for 3.5-4 years. And now they are going to go out into the world, and these 11 men, you say, I thought there were 12. These 11 men, bless you, they're going to turn the world upside down. He says a very powerful thing to them. Look at verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. I don't know if you understand the authority that Christ is trying to entrust to you as a follower of Jesus Christ. The power that He's trying to pour out on your life. You say, why does God want us to forgive people who have hurt us? And why does He want us to love our enemies? Here's why. Not so we could go, hey, look at us. Look at us. No. See, when you forgive people who've hurt you and you love your enemies, the gospel becomes more effective through you. because you don't navel gaze about what people have done to you. You turn and you go after those who need him like you need him. This is a moment when they're understanding the significance of what Jesus is trying to do through them, through us, through all of history hereafter. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now, that's an interesting thought we'll come back to. At first glance, you can kind of misconstrue what's going on in this passage if you're not careful, because we as followers of Jesus Christ tend to do two things. We either tend to minimize ourselves beyond the ability to be used by God, or we tend to puff ourselves up to the point that we think we're more important than we actually are. God wants us to rest in between those two thoughts. You say, well, then what is he doing here? What he's saying to the disciples are, just remember the context. Just as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Just as I came into the world to forgive sin, so now you're going to go into the world as my representative, forgiving sin in my name. The power of our authority, you ready? Is in Jesus' name. If I hit the like button on your Facebook page, you know what that means? You've been prayed for in Jesus' name. You will get no positive thoughts, no positive vibes. You'll get no happy thoughts, no enduring connections. You will only get prayer in Jesus' name. You go, I don't want that. Then you're not going to get anything from me. I don't want, you ready? I don't want to be a part of toxic positivity. You say, what is that? Saying things that don't mean anything, just to avoid conflict in your life and the truth that God's trying to speak to you. I want to encourage you that God has given you a power he has not given the rest of the world, and it comes in Jesus' name. Amen? All of our authority and all of our power is in Jesus' name, and when we walk away from that name, we have no authority and we have no power. But the moment we come back, we go from not being able to do the possible to doing the impossible for him. That's what God calls us to. So when he says, if you forgive sin, it's forgiven. If you withhold it, it's withheld. What he's saying is, if you take my name to them, they receive what you have received from me. And if they don't receive my name, then they don't get what you got. Uh-oh, you ready? Don't give people what they want if they don't want it in Jesus' name. He has not authorized you to do that. He has not authorized you to give people something devoid of his name. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you only bless in Jesus' name. That's it. That's it. That's it. Anything else is not of worth, is not of value. And it's not real and it's not true. We each have the same mission. So how do we live this out? Number three, realize we embody the gospel message to others. We embody the gospel message to others. Now, what is the gospel message? Well, there's five things here that I want to remind you of. Number one, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Number two, Jesus is the only way. Not a way, not a good way, the only way to eternal life. Number three, Jesus died for your sins. Nobody else could because nobody else can. Because nobody else was perfect like Jesus. And so he died for your sins. You say, what does that mean? That means that if I give my life to Jesus Christ, I can live for him instead of dying for my sins because he's done it for me. Number four, Jesus arose from the grave and he overcame death, hell, and sin. You say, what does that mean? It means this: there's no addiction greater than his power. There's no demon outside of his authority. Because addiction is a demon. Oh, no, no, it's a disease. I don't know if you know this. Diseases are demons. I don't know if you know that or not. I don't know if you read the Bible. You say, what are you saying? That everything that happens to me is because... No, don't take it too far. Don't take it too far. Don't let the enemy destroy what God's doing right now in you. God gives you authority. God gives you authority. You say, well, then why hasn't he healed me of everything? Why don't you ask the Apostle Paul? Because his power is made perfect through your weakness. That will be the only reason why he won't heal you. I said to the Lord, Lord, I know that you can raise my mom from the dead. I said it the night she was killed. And I said, will you raise my mom from the dead right now? And he said, and I quote, no. No. Because my power is going to be made perfect through your weakness. Okay. And so the only reason why God doesn't do a miracle in your life, in whatever it is you're struggling in, is because the gospel can be more effective with that a part of your life. You go, I don't like that. Well, you know, join the team. Join the team. Number five, Jesus offers you salvation through him if you believe in who he is and what he did for you. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. Wednesday night, Tasha taught us the five-finger gospel. I know that sounds weird, okay? She's going to teach it in our VBB. It's amazing. And I won't steal her thunder. Look at verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, five words, we have seen the Lord. You ever remember those moments when you didn't show up at church and something incredible happened? You're like, oh, missed that one. I missed that one. Or maybe and a lesser, you know, like maybe your sporting team, you didn't get to see it and something great happened, right? So Thomas is in this moment where something incredible happens. He went to the grocery store, so to speak. And when he got back, they're like, hey, Jesus stopped by. What? What? What do you mean Jesus stopped by? We've seen the Lord. He said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, to place my finger into the mark of the nails, place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Look at this. They still got the doors locked. They're still scared to death. And Jesus came and stood among them. And what did he say? Peace be with you. Why? Because I'm with you. And he said to Thomas, Thomas. Thomas wasn't at the grocery store this time. Put your finger here. Can you imagine? Like, what would you say if Jesus showed up and you weren't there the first time and you came by and you're like, I don't believe he really showed up. He shows up again. You go, hey, I'm sorry. I mean, who knows what's going on in Thomas's head here? Put your finger and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. The suffering of Jesus should compel you to declare who he is in your life. Now let me apply that further. Our suffering should implore us to declare who he is in our lives. My God and my Lord. When you are suffering, if you want peace, declare who he is in your life. When you are suffering, declare who he is if you want peace in your life. I was so tired this week, long week, really long week. I took a 4-hour nap on Friday, my day off. Somebody said, are you able to sleep? Yes. Sometimes you got to catch up on your sleep. And at times I would wake up, and this happens in the night too, and I just pray this prayer. I've learned to pray this. You are good, and your love endures forever. I don't understand, but you are good, and your love endures forever. I don't have to understand. You are good, and your love endures forever. I trust you. You are good, and your love endures forever. These are the things that we say. You're my God. You're my Lord. He's my God. He's my Lord. He's my God, and he's my Lord. How about you? How about you? How about you? Is he your Lord? Jesus said to him, have you believed because you've seen me? And blessed are those who have not seen. That's us. And yet have believed. And then the purpose of this book, and this is what I love about the Gospel of John. I love it when the writer puts the cookies on the bottom shelf. Here's the cookies on the bottom shelf. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Look at verse 30 again. Jesus did many signs. We call those miracles. They're written so that you may believe. By believing, you may have life in his name. Do you know that God does miracles in people's lives and they never acknowledge his presence in their life? They waste their miracle. One of the saddest things about eternity is going to be the people whom God has done miracles in their life here and they never turned and acknowledged them before they got there. They're going to be shocked. They're going to be shocked. And they're going to miss out on the kingdom because of that. See, if God does a miracle in your life, has God ever done a miracle in your life? Yeah. I mean, I told you that I asked God to do one in my life and he didn't do it. But the same mother that I asked him to raise from the dead knelt by my bed in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm saying that right, by the way, and said, Lord, if you will spare his life, I will give him back to you to do what you've called him to do. She did that for me. So I figured I should do that for her. The Lord said yes to her. He said no to me about her. And there are going to be times when God is going to say no to you, but I want you to know there's going to be times when he's going to say yes. But I sure hope that when he says yes, you don't write it off as coincidence. And I hope that if he does a miracle in your life, you say to him ahead of time and you say afterwards, you do it, well, I'll tell everybody you did it. You do it, I'll tell everybody you did it. Don't waste your miracle. You say, well, how do we not waste our miracle? You use your miracle to advance the gospel. To advance the gospel. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Principle number 4, realize that God's miracles to us is so others can believe too. Don't waste your miracle. Don't hoard your miracle. I mean, I think about the surgery you just went through and how you walked around for 4 decades and you should have died. Physically, you should have died. They told you that. And then at God's appointed time, God showed it. God did a miracle. And God then used modern medicine to advance your life. Miracle. Miracle, miracle, miracle. God does miracles. Now, I'm sure in the course of your 4 decades of living, G, you had all kinds of stuff you worried about, right?
Yeah, but the very thing you should have been worried about, you had no idea. You're walking around like a time bomb. You didn't even know to worry. We're all walking around worried to death about something. And it's like the Lord's up in heaven going, if they only knew. If they only knew. If they only knew that what they're worrying about is a waste of their time, and the things they're not worrying about, they probably should be worried about. This is God's perspective. So Jesus appears again to the disciples in John chapter 21, verse 1, except this time, and this is what I love, he met them in the upper room. The upper room was where they did the Lord's Supper, by the way. It was the last time they were with Jesus. But this time, Jesus is going to meet them on their playground. And you know what's interesting about Jesus? He'll meet you at church or the gas station. He really doesn't care. He'll meet you on the basketball court or at the fishing hole. He'll meet you on the golf course or the coffee shop. You pick it. John 21, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Now, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. Do you ever just find yourself in a very stressful time in your life, a very confused time in your life, a very frustrated time in your life, and so you know what? I'm just going to go play basketball. I'm just going to go golfing. I'm just going to go have a cup of coffee. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to go play golf. Okay. And listen to what the buddies said. We're going to go with you. We'll go with you. Now, remember how it all started? You go, no, I don't remember. Let's go back, Matthew 4:18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And this is what's true of all of our lives, by the way. You know, we're you know, maintenance workers, we're, you know, fitness workers, we're, you know, you were computer, IT, whatever. We're just going through our lives doing our vocation like they were. Look what happens. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will translate your vocation from an earthly one to an eternal one. I will add meaning to your work that will last forever. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat, their father, and followed him. That's how it all started for the disciples. You see this note here, and here they are, full circle. Peter returning to the beach, to the water, to fish for fish again, after he had become a fisher of men. So look what happens, verse 22. They went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught, can someone say it? They caught what? They caught nothing. Zero. Zero. See, that's how it all started back in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, cast your net over there. And they're like, oh, we've already done that. He's like, well, just do it again. Do you understand that at whatever point God wants to eliminate the desolation and the frustration of your life and the futility of your life, he can do it. And so you say to the Lord, you ready? Here's all my failures, God. Turn them into successes. Here's all the things the enemy's using to beat the life out of me. You take my failures, Lord, and you turn them into successes. Now, I want you to think about this statement because it's a tough one to process. When God calls you, he ruins you. You say, what? When God calls you, he ruins you. See, what's going to happen to you is when God gets a hold of your life, you're going, I used to be good at that. I used to be good at fishing. And now I'm terrible at it. So the one thing I was good at, I told the Lord yes, and now I'm not even good at that. Huh. So I used to have a little worth, now I have no worth. I used to struggle with low self-esteem, now I have no esteem. I have no success. Okay. When God calls you, he ruins you. You ever had a season like that? You strike out in what you used to be great at. You're terrible at now. So look at what happens. John 21:4. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Here we are again. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it. Now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Now I want you to see their response, because this is Pentecost. This is transformation. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. You say, what's so significant about that? They had learned. You ready? And this is really important, because a lot of people, when they come to Christ, they go, I used to be good at that. Now I'm not good at anything. Life used to not be that hard. Now that I've come to Christ, it's even harder. No. You've lost sight. You need to do what John does here. When Pentecost occurs and the Spirit comes to live inside of you, when something good happens, you say, you ready? It is the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. When something good happens in your life, it's not coincidence. It's not luck. It's not random fortune. It's God. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. Stay with me. You'll see why this is significant. Verse 7. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment. For he had a job where he stripped for work. All right. And he threw himself into the sea, and the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land. They were about 100 yards off, so a football field. And when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with some fish out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you just caught. Now, Jesus could have said that I caught for you, but anyway. So Simon Peter went aboard, hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them, by the way, caught instantaneously, and they hadn't caught anything all night. Although there were so many, the net was not torn, and Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. I want you to think about this. God used something they were good at. In order to teach them, if they'll follow him, he'll make them good at it again. But this time, their good will be for his kingdom and not for theirs. This is transformation. This is Pentecost. This is Holy Spirit moment. Our success, so important. Our success is like miracles. They point people to Jesus. So I have dedicated my life, any success that I have in my life, any platform the Lord gives me, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. I'm only here to make him more famous. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Not here to make a name for myself, here to make a name for him. So principle number five, see our success is from him to reach others for him. See our success is from him to reach others for him. You do it, Lord. We'll tell everybody you did it. Everybody. 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 The country of Scotland has decided that they should assist people with suicide. The same country where Queen Mary said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Europe." The sadness that's taking place in Europe is moving here. It's moving here. It's moving here. Depression, suicide, darkness. Sad, isn't it? It's sad. We've got the good news. Jesus.
Word Central Podcast. We encourage you to go out and live your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. God bless you, friend. See you next time.